The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right, Stephen Fishback. The Love Know-It-Alls are here.
Wow. I've been anticipating this podcast for days, if not weeks.
No,
or
for
longer.
Your entire life, this has been your dream to get to this moment where you are going to give dating and relationship advice to people.
Well, I used to stay up at night and listen to Loveline. And, you know, I feel like, am I the Dr. Drew or am I the Adam Carolla? I guess everyone wants to be the Adam Carolla, right? Nobody wants to be the Dr. Drew.
Right. I don't think that either of us are qualified to be the doctor
Dr. Drew was not. Dr. Drew was not qualified to be the doctor either. So that was like
the nice
thing.
I think that's a hot take. Let's not open with that. And then we'll see if either of us can actually be funny on this show. But this was the vision of Stephen Fishback, who said, I want to, you just out of the blue one day texted me and said, I want to do a dating and relationship advice. Is that how it came up, or did somebody tweet to you that we should do that? And then you said that you would really want to do this.
I think that I was sort of thinking of what would be fun things to talk about that were not exclusively television and reality television and dating. Like I said, I grew up listening to Loveline. As we've actually gotten closer to recording this podcast, I've become more and more terrified, because we are living in this really fascinating, wonderful moment where so many of the norms of dating are getting reevaluated, you know, and gender relations are getting questioned and rethought through in this wonderful way. And I think what everyone is looking for in this moment is two middle-aged white guys to kind of, you know, lay down the law and say how it should be.
Right. So that's what we're here to do. I don't know if we have any good advice. I suspect Stephen might have better advice than I will, but we'll see how it goes. And so this is episode number one. In the future, we hope to bring in different guests to talk with us about a different subject that might have different advice in specific areas. I believe that we have a deep Rolodex of potential people that might be up for something like this. I suspect Franny would come on and talk to us. I know that Dr. Mike and Simone have reached out to me about potentially coming on to do this separately. I think that Jeremy would be so funny to talk with us and just tell us how dumb we are giving advice to people. So I think we have a deep bench of people to pull from if this is enjoyable at all for the listeners.
But and you know who we should also get? We should get like a young person, you know, like a Julia Sokolowski or something, someone who can say how the kids are dating. Because I do think that The youth are really reevaluating, you know, some of these norms. So it's a very exciting.
Yeah. Sure. So if this gets picked up, then we'll do more of these. And this is just the first one with us. And so I'm really trying to lower the bar on your expectations for what we're going to get into today, because I told my wife about this idea and she said this was really the worst idea that we've ever had.
why did
she
say
said,
that?
Why would anybody listen to either of you? Right. What do you guys know about it? You guys are like love duds, was basically the gist of what she was saying, which I thought was rude to you.
Love Duds is a pretty decent name if the Love Know-It-Alls thing, doesn't take.
Doesn't catch on. Yeah. We should also put out the instrumental version of the theme song and then just let people go to town with coming up with something better.
That's really great.
Post that on the website.
But, you know, to be fair, I do think being two anxious, neurotic people. You know, being middle-aged white men is definitely not in style right now, but being an anxious, neurotic person never goes out of style. And I feel like, you know, just hyper-analyzing the minutiae of every little moment, you know, that's great for anything.
Right. And so I think that maybe if you were going to come up with the pitch for why this exists, you say, okay, well, you guys are, you know, alleged strategic experts. And can you put any of your insight into something practical, like helping me meet somebody?
Yeah, I think that's the great. That's it. And the other reason is that, you know, we don't really have an excuse to talk in the off season of Survivor. So, you know, this is it.
There you go. All right. So we set up an email address where people could send in questions. And really, we barely mentioned it. We came on in the Happy Holidays special, which I would not think is one of the more listened to podcasts. And we said, OK, well, here's the address. Send us questions. KIA@robhasawebsite.com. And then we got a bunch of questions. I was actually really pleasantly surprised. I didn't have to like badger people like, hey, we want to record the podcast. Please send us more questions. No, we got a good haul of questions here today.
People, you know, this is an underserved community of people dating who have real problems. I mean, there's so many freaking podcasts out there. You know, 98% of them are about politics. And the rest are about television. You know, no one's talking about the most important thing of all in people's lives, which is love.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get into those questions. Now, Steven, of course, is engaged and will get married in 2018. Steven, did you tell your fiance that we were doing this podcast?
I did. She was really into it, actually. Unlike Nicole. Well, you know, I guess we haven't been together so long that she calls me a love dud, although I look forward to that. You know, she thought it was a fun idea.
Yeah. And Nicole really was down. She said, you have no good advice for anybody and nobody should listen to you, I believe, was her recommendation. So I think you just got kind of lumped into it, Steven.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it is. It has been 3 years since I've been on a date. Over 3 years since I've been on a date. So,
all right. So let's dig into our questions here. I'm going to keep everybody anonymous in terms of, I'll just give you the initial for their name and tell you if they are a man or a woman writing in with this question. And basically, unless somebody explicitly wants to be identified of who they are, I will keep them anonymous so people can feel free to write in, and then I won't be doxing anybody with sending in questions. And let me start with a question from S. And S is a guy who is asking us, are you ready for a workplace romance drama? I've spent some time sneakily trying to figure out if anyone who I work with listens to RHAP, but nobody does. Okay. So the S is a high school teacher, and at the beginning of last year, there was a brand new teacher, and she was close to his age. They're both single. They started out the school year kind of flirty with their classrooms next to each other. They never went on a date or anything, but they got to know each other pretty well. And when the school got back from Christmas break, there was a rumor buzzing around the new teacher potentially having gotten together with another teacher, which wasn't him. And turns out she got together with a different teacher in the building, which made sense because they spend a lot of time together after school because they coach the same sport. And even some of the students had spotted them together, leaving school together. But there are a couple of problematic issues. One, she's a religion teacher. And two, he's married.
Who's married? The S is married or the coach?
No, the assistant coach. Teacher, the assistant coach is married. So they've been able to cover part of it by saying that she was helping him convert to a new religion.
This is not real together. Wow. What's the old religion and what's the new religion?
I don't know. That part is left out. But
that's quite a drama. This is already, there's a but. Wow.
Yes. He's not just calling in to tell us the story, but she still is acting flirty around S, and one of her other friends keeps telling people that she's single and trying to set her up, but that friend knows what's really happening. So here's what I need to know from the love know-it-alls. Is her behavior towards me, one, legitimate interest? Two, the super survivory explanation. She's trying to use me as a cover up and a distraction for what is going on and actually has no interest in me. Or three, something else. Either way, I'm 100% out on this. It's way too convoluted, but I do find the scenario interesting to try to analyze from a strategic point of view. Good luck. What's going on here, Stephen?
Interesting. So, I mean, just in terms of us giving advice to this person, this is really a best case scenario where this person's already decided what they're going to do, and our advice is essentially irrelevant, but would have been stay clear of this for a lot of reasons, right?
Right, right. But basically, he is writing to us to ask for the analysis of
strategic analysis.
What is going on here? What is this woman up to? That is she recruiting him to be part of a cover story to help change the narrative from the affair with the married guy?
Or is she legitimately interested? Is the other half of the question?
Maybe.
Right? Or isn't there just a possibility that she's just like a nice person being nice to him?
Yeah, she could be friendly.
She could. I mean, she could just be friendly. You know, coaches are can-do, enthusiastic people, right? Whose basic responsibility is to motivate those around them to achieve their best. And I had an experience with a coach at a seminal point in my life, and that really pushed me. He really pushed me to achieve almost as well as I hope to do, but, you know, get much better than I expected to do. So it's possible that that motivational spirit, you know, certainly combined with the religiosity, which, you know, is also about, you know, people, you know, doing great things. Maybe she's just like a nice, wonderful, thoughtful person who wants you to be happy. And yeah, maybe there's no ulterior interest there at all. What do you think about that, Rob?
Yeah, I think that maybe she may just be a very friendly person. That we had an incident like this in my high school where it was like a really big coup where I think that there was I'm trying to remember it correctly, but I think it was like a female teacher and like one of the like security guards from the school were spotted hooking up in a parked vehicle like somewhere nearby offsite, and it was a real scandal.
Wow, that is a scandal.
Yeah.
So in general, I think, you know, obviously don't get into a relationship with the person. Is she actually interested in you? You know, it's possible that she's interested and it's possible that she's not interested. But in general, my attitude is, you know, you can never fully know if someone is interested, and often they don't even know themselves. My general belief in life is that nobody really knows what they want until they're actually asked a question. So, you know, short of asking someone out, you know, there's hard to ever actually like figure it out.
Let me ask you your opinion in general on workplace romance. Are you an advocate of that? I know you've worked in a lot of different places.
I'm really not an advocate of that. And I think everything that we've seen recently has reaffirmed my belief that in the workplace, you know, to some degree, whenever you go to work, you're kind of putting on a role, and that role is like the worker instead of the person. And then adding in romance that inherently complicates it, right? Even if it's not a direct superior subordinate relationship, there's always some power dynamic at play. It opens itself up to gossip and to being distracting. I know that on the other hand, like I know that a lot of people have met their significant others at work. So, you know, I can't create one, you know, big overall sweeping judgment. What do you think, Rob?
I don't know anybody that got together from working together and then that was like a success story, but you know, seem to know a lot more people than I do.
No, I guess I don't actually know anyone who that's happened to. I guess I've just always heard that, you know, I've always heard that as a myth that people meet at work, but maybe that was back in the day before, you know, internet dating and before app dating.
Maybe.
Was
yeah, that you didn't
people
know anybody.
Had fewer. Well, yeah, but exactly. Like the only places you could meet people were bars and work, and bars are terrible. So, you know, you're kind of stuck with work, but now maybe we don't have to rely on that as much anymore.
Yeah, I think more ideal is maybe somebody in your field, but not somebody in your office.
Yeah. Someone who shares common interests with you. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Stephen, let's move on. That I have a voicemail question. We didn't even ask for voicemail questions.
Oh, great.
But I got a voicemail question, and this is from a listener who will identify herself. And so she wants as a question to really pick your brain, Stephen.
Rob, my dream, by the way, is for us to actually have call-ins at some point where we can actually talk to these people.
I think
there's so many things we could have asked S.
Okay. All right. So here's our voicemail.
Hey, guys. It is me, Sarah, from Philadelphia. I am calling in because I've been single for a little while now, and I'm just starting to finally feel like I'm ready for a relationship. And I keep making these Tinder and Bumble profiles, and I hate everyone so much. I hate them all. I swipe left. I get in rage fits of swiping left on people. And then I'll try, you know, and talk to a couple of them. And even those people that I try to talk to, I hate them so much. And I eventually, within a couple of days, delete the app. And then I go back to it, and then I delete it again, and then I go back to it. And I don't know. I mean, do I explore a different website? I think Steven mentioned at one point that he was on a dating site, and a success story came from that. And if he has any advice, I know that Rob was out of the game long before Tinder and Bumble were around. But
long before the internet was around.
Online dating in general, what are some good tips and tricks? Thanks.
Okay.
I do have opinions about this because I feel like the problem with a lot of these apps is you have basically no information about anybody else, and they have almost no information about you. You know, just like a few lines of biography. And I get it. Like, apps are where it's at these days. But I used OkCupid, you know, back in the day when people did things on the web. I used OkCupid. And what I loved about it was that there was a ton of information out there about me on my profile. You know, first of all, you could gauge like my writing style just by my self-description. You know, I listed my favorite books. I listed my interests. I listed my favorite movies and songs. And, you know, and I was reading that about other people. And, you know, I think we're all incredibly busy people who lead super hectic lives. I mean, how do you, you know, the idea of sacrificing an entire evening for someone who you basically know nothing about, except they, you know, they happen to have like three or four decent photos of themselves and they have a hometown. It seemed madness to me. You know, I wanted to find someone who I thought would be compatible with me in a way that, you know, before just like going out and hoping. Now, I know a lot of people talk about, you know, that ineffable compatibility that you get just over a conversation.
Ineffable. I've been called that many times in my life.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought over dinner or over drinks, two people could have a nice time for an evening or a couple of evenings. But I think if you're looking for something serious, you want more. The other thing, by the way, and this is not a sales pitch on OkCupid's behalf, but maybe we can get them as a sponsor, was that and actually Liz Markham like clued me in that you know, you answer a ton of questions on OkCupid and then you have like match percentages. And I was not like looking at people, my match percentage. I thought that was ridiculous. You know, how good could the algorithm be for this website? So Liz Markham was the one who told me, look at your match percentage. And that actually completely changed my dating life, because the people who I started going out with were much better matches for me. And in fact, it is how I met my fiance, who was a 96% match. So,
wow.
Yes.
I watched a Black Mirror episode that was about this also.
Yeah, that was they were an even better spoiler episode. Yeah, no spoilers here.
All right. So this is interesting. So it sounds like to me, who somebody I've never done any online dating. You're saying that online dating was great, and then we've made it too easy with this swipe left, swipe right, and sure, now you get a bunch of matches, but it's sort of like, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And so you might meet somebody, you know, you might meet here's a bunch of attractive people, but you're not going to be meeting as many matches. You're just going to be meeting more people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think, you know, it becomes the paradox of choice, too, where
you
there's
made it too easy.
Yeah, then there's so many people out there, you know, how could you ever possibly choose one? And that's what the other people are thinking too. You know, I think we all need some kind of filtering mechanic and, you know, what's a better filtering mechanic than compatibility, right? Like by this website saying, you know, you are more compatible with this person than this other person. You know, how great is that? A lot of people are finding love on apps. And it does seem to be where most people are, at least, you know, the source of most people's dates. But, you know, from my ancient perspective, it does seem like it encourages this culture of disposability that is somewhat inimical to long-term relationships.
So you're saying, so for somebody like Sarah, who is, you know, tired of the dating, wants to get into a relationship, online dating is still a good thing to use, but maybe go with something that's a little more robust than a Tinder.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you should probably never, you know, engage in this when you're full of rage, you know, rage fits of swiping left.
That seems therapeutic to me.
Yeah, but that's the problem, right? It's like suddenly you're like disposing of these other people in the same way that you're disposing, you know, they're disposing of you, right? You want to like enter into it with optimism and hope.
I like some things that I can swipe left on.
Yeah, but yeah, okay.
I mean, I think that would be fun. It's like popping bubble wrap.
That's like the whole thing, though, right? Yes, it's super fun, like. You know, I used apps, you know, like a swipe left on you, swipe right on you, you know, left, right. It is super fun, but then it does become, you know, then your whole mental attitude of it, you're going into it with this idea of disposability.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't even want to do it for something important, just like things that I could eat for lunch.
Oh, yeah. So what, a tuna fish comes up and you're like left.
Yes, get that out of here, tuna fish.
But then some like delicious ham with cornichon and mustard on a baguette. Like that's a swipe right for sure, right?
I don't know about for sure, but I definitely, you know, stare at it for a couple of minutes.
Are you a cornichon man?
What is that?
Like corn the gherkins, the mini pickles.
I'm not a crazy pickle nut.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fine, but you know, I'm not a connoisseur like you.
Yeah, I love a good cornichon.
Okay. Steven, this is a question for us from L. And L writes in that say, Eric, who is 32 and a man, and L, who is 32 and a woman, they met at university, and he's been one of her closest friends for over 10 years. Even though they lived in different countries for most of the time, they've gone traveling together. They visited each other in different countries that they lived in, and they've stayed in close contact. And they've gone through periods of being single and being in serious relationships. They're both single right now and serious relationships with other people. It's always been 100% platonic between us. Now, Elle just moved to Ottawa and Eric lives in New York, which is the closest they've ever lived to each other since university. He's planning a weekend trip to visit at the beginning of February. Now, here's the catch. In the in the last few months, she is suddenly falling for Eric. Her last relationship ended 8 months ago, and one day she was contemplating her future and realized that she's basically seeking exactly the relationship that Eric and she have. And since then, it's been building up in her mind that this might be one of those, it was right in front of me the whole time situations. She hasn't seen him in over a year and has said nothing in particular to suggest that he's interested in a relationship, although he did send a happy New Year, darling text on New Year's Eve. Now,
oh, darling,
I'm torn whether I should try to ramp up a romantic connection when we see each other in a few weeks, or whether it would be incredibly awkward and ruin our friendship and our weekend. Friends turn into partners sometimes, right? But how? Any advice?
First of all, you've gone traveling together and never hooked up. It's hard to believe that two people who might have a connection have gone traveling together and never hooked up.
Yeah. But
what do you think?
I mean, that it seems like, you know, that they're friends for this long. I mean, if they're both single, you know, I don't think that it's going to be an issue. Do you?
Well, do you think that there's a danger in losing the friendship, which is obviously a really significant friendship for both of these people, you know, 10 years, and sacrificing it for one awkward week or weekend?
Steven, you know how easy it is to go find a friend? You know, look, I don't have any, but if I think if I wanted to, if I wanted to go have friends, like I think that the friends are a dime a dozen. I think you could just make new friends. I mean, what do you need a long distance friend for? To play what? Words with friends with somebody on an app? You don't even live in the same city. It's not like you are, you know, see each other all the time. It's been a long time since she's seen him. I say it's roll the dice here. Who's worried about protecting the friendship?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, Rob. I think that, you know, like to your point, they're not hanging out. Yeah. The best part of this whole podcast is hearing these, you know, incredibly beautiful stories from everybody who wrote in. I feel like we're really dropping the ball here, but fortunately there are these wonderful stories that you've got.
Yeah. Like the religion teacher that was having an affair. Many beautiful stories out there in the world. So we're on the same page that, okay, L should be open to the idea of the relationship with Eric. Okay, now
but the question is, how does she broach it?
Yes, right. how does she handle this?
Yeah. So what do you think? What's the opener? Does she just say it to him? Does she email him? Do they go out and try to get drunk together? Like what's the opener?
Yeah, I think that this would that if I could channel my wife, I think that her advice here would be just get drunk and then let's see where it goes.
That's where the traveling thing comes in, right? Because
who says, maybe they don't drink. I don't know what the story is there.
I'm just saying, like, if they've traveled together, right? They've been in situations where they probably have been drunk together, or let's say they don't drink. They've been in chaotic. We're out all day. Now we're going to just collapse together. And nothing's ever happened there before. Together. You know, like we've been out all day.
What happens when you go traveling? You don't make it sound that good.
I go hard when I travel. By the end of the day, I'm ready to pass out. And the fact that nothing's ever happened, you know, maybe it needs a little more than just let's hope the magic strikes.
So like, what are you saying?
I don't know. I mean, what are you saying?
I mean, I think that the just get drunk answer, don't get like sloppy drunk, but I mean, I think have a few drinks and then I think that sort of like whatever awkwardness is there, it will work itself out. I believe that alcohol is a truth serum. And I think that eventually whatever sort of guard you have up or he has up, like, I think it'll go away and then you'll know, basically you'll have your answer by the end of the night.
I disagree with that. I mean, I'm okay with the idea of using alcohol as a social lubricant, but I think she needs to go in there with a little bit more of a concrete game plan. You know, like, we're the strategists here, Rob. We need to say what's the correct strategy. And it's not just, you know, you don't just walk into tribal council and hope that things go according to plan.
Data's live.
You walk, the data's live. And with that attitude, it's possible that they would get drunk. She would lose her nerve. Nothing would ever get said. And he
would
leave.
Nobody loses nerve when they get drunk. That's never happened before.
Well, you don't get like less nervy, but you know, you might just sort of the evening just might slip away. And I think she should go in with the plan of what am I going to say in this moment?
I think that one, you just sort of, ask some probing questions in terms of what Eric's relationship status is. What is he looking for? Has he thought about settling down? And then I think that based on his answers, I think that you could sort of get some. What? Why are you laughing?
Have you thought about settling down? You're out with this guy. You want him to be your boyfriend. Have you ever thought about settling down?
All right, Steven, you wanted to know the exact questions. What do you have to write a script here? This is you've led me into a trap here that you say, what specifically are you going to say? And now you're making fun of the questions that I'm throwing out there.
But what about instead of like doing it elliptically, like through questions, what if she just at a moment, you know, what if she just at a moment in the conversation says, just like professes herself. Is that a possibility or am I being idealistic and romantic?
I think that's a big matzo ball to have hanging out there, Steven, of, hey, what about me?
But isn't that ultimately what she wants? Like, you're saying she should be willing to sacrifice her friendship for the relationship. And I'm saying, like, then do it.
You want to go all in.
You don't have to be all in. Like, just to say, hey, I've realized I'm interested in you. You know, people... Nobody Worst case scenario is that he's not interested, but nobody is going to judge you for liking them, right? The world is just filled with people who like themselves for the most part. Obviously, we also all hate ourselves, but you know, we all like, you know, everyone secretly imagines that the people around them like them and find them interesting. And the worst case is he's incredibly flattered and declines. And that will be super embarrassing for the moment, but doesn't actually have to affect your relationship. I mean, my attitude in general is just put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You disagree. You think it's too awkward.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's sort of just, see what happens. I mean, that they still live very far apart. I think, sort of try it on for a weekend, but I don't know necessarily if you need to be so formal about this. I'm reminded one time of a moment in college where there was a woman that I wanted, that I was friends with, right. And then I wanted to be more than friends with this person. And I told this person, I followed your plan, Stephen, and you know how this went?
How?
She said, basically, no, we should just stay friends. And it was not fun.
That's the thing.
I think that happened to me more than once, Stephen.
Oh, that has happened to all of us, right? But like, you gotta. And the other thing is, like, I'm not saying, you know, she should make this like Hugh Grant declaration. You know, maybe there's a way where it's not, what are your plans for the future? What's your relationship status? Are you planning on having any kids yet? You know, it's not the questions route, but it's, you know, it's a pause in the conversation. You're both a little tipsy. Maybe you don't drink, so you're not tipsy. And you just say like, hey, like, you know, I'm kind of interested in you.
How about a question like, hey, how come we never got together? You know, that's
a little strategy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
It's like, oh, I don't know. I'm not attracted to you. Like, oh, okay. then you wouldn't even have to. But if it was like, oh, well, yeah, that is weird. I wonder why that never happened.
I just think like the I'm kind of interested in you moment. It's like, if he's interested, it's going to be an incredible opening. And even if he's not interested right then, right, it might, like, maybe like Elle, he's never thought about it. You know, getting back to this idea that, like, I don't think people really know what they want. I think if she, like, puts it out there, like, hey, I'm kind of interested in you, it might take hold in him in a way. And again, it doesn't have to be this, like, big declaration, because you're right, that does risk rejection and could be super embarrassing. But they've got this obvious relationship. There's obviously some kind of connection that keeps them together, even though they've lived far away, even though they've like seen each other go through, you know, a lot of different changes in their lives. Why not prompt the conversation?
All right. Anything else for Elle?
So let's just like to sum up, because I feel like we've gone back and forth a little bit here. You think that, that she should give him a questionnaire. And I think that she should make.
First off, you're spinning this. This is like the Survivor podcast. I'm saying that they should just get drunk. And I think I would dance around it. You're saying be more direct.
I just worry, like, if her actual, and look, for most people, hanging out with their friends who they really like and they have a secret crush on, I typically would not advise just like them announcing their secret crush, right?
Blurting it out.
I think that we've all been there, and it's almost always gone badly. But in this unique situation where they live so far away, where they see each other infrequently, and where Elle is starting to realize after a prolonged relationship that maybe what she wants is right in front of her the whole time, you know, why not just say something?
Okay. All right. Just Stephen says, go out there and just say something. I say be a little more tactful about it. And then that way, in this hedge situation, if it's not going well, you can retreat and save the friendship.
But my fear is that if you go into this evening with the plan to be tactful, it's going to get lost. You know, I think like my thought is that in the moment, it's always going to be harder to say something than it is, you know, just like planning in advance. So you have to have a plan that requires you to be really bold. And then in the actual moment, you'll probably be slightly less bold. So if you go in being like, yeah, maybe I'll bring it up, maybe I'll ask some questions leading in that direction, it's not going to go anywhere. But if you go in like, this is my night, I am going to say something or that's it, then you'll probably end up at least saying something and at least prompting the conversation.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. And this is from a anonymous woman who writes in, Rob and Steven, I live at home with my parent for several reasons. I'm afraid to start dating because I would have to tell them I live at home and I'm close to 30 years old. Should I just not date?
Wow. Well, no. I mean, of course you should still date.
Are you sure?
Yeah. What do you think, Rob?
I thought this was a good question because I think that this is like a good illustration of something that one person has, you know, an issue and they are just overblowing it. Like it's in their head. It's such an insurmountable issue of, oh my God, I have this thing. And it doesn't have to be living at home with your parent, but I have this thing. No one will ever date me. No one will ever understand. I'm going to be alone forever. And then I'm stuck. I don't think anybody would, if there was a woman that I was interested in and I found out she lived at home with her parents, is that an ideal situation? No, but if I liked the person, that wouldn't stop me at all. I wouldn't give it a second thought.
In some ways, it's a positive because, you know, then if you guys go home together, you have to go back to your place. And that's just better. It's more convenient.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. Is there like a curfew issue also there of having to, you know, you have to also be home by a certain time? Like, you know, how is it an overbearing parent? But, you know, just on the surface, I wouldn't think that's a deal breaker.
But I think you're right that people do get fixated on things that they're embarrassed or ashamed of. And it becomes this big block that prevents them from, you know, really living the life that they could live. I remember once I had this giant pimple on my forehead and I had this date with this girl who I really had been like wooing for quite some time. And, you know, like over emails, like really putting a lot of time into these emails that I was sending her. And I had this huge pimple on my forehead the day we were supposed to finally go out, maybe because of, you know, stress and fear. And you know, the whole date, I was like kind of positioning my head so she couldn't, you know, right, see the pimple, like turning my head. And I was acting so weird because I was so self-conscious. You know, she probably wouldn't have cared. Maybe she would have been slightly grossed out by this massive zit on my head. But, you know, in the long term, it wouldn't have affected us. But what did affect us was like all of the, like the me talking out of the side of my mouth while I gazed at the door of the restaurant. Like, why is this weirdo? Now, granted, everything turned out perfectly because I am where I am, but at the time I spent a lot of time beating myself up for being so embarrassed about this.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a lot, you know, just true that, you know, like you're saying, nobody is really going to care, and certainly not if they like you. And every date I've gone on, like someone's got something in their life that's, you know, slightly inconvenient or non-ideal, but no one's perfect.
Right. And if they were perfect, that somebody would have snatched them up already.
That's a terrible attitude. No, the perfect person for you.
Everybody's
is
damaged
out
goods,
there.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're all broken.
We
exactly.
are.
Yeah.
Especially us.
Yeah, exactly. We are broken. We are all right. broken on this podcast.
I mean, if I was ever dating again, how would I ever tell somebody that I host the Nerdy Survivor podcast? I don't know how I would even bring that up. Yeah. To see the look of shame on the person sitting across from me.
Yeah. Yeah, you better hope it's a Survivor fan, or you know, and you know, even worse if it's a Survivor fan who listens to the Russell Hantz podcast, not yours. Then you're really in trouble.
Well, where am I going to find that person, Steven?
Yeah, man, how
yeah.
rude.
Yeah. All right. Let's. For anonymous woman, do not sweat it. Do not decide that you can't date because you live at home with a parent.
Let's talk strategy here. Is there a time that she should be bringing it up? Like, how should she drop the home with parent bomb?
Not with a sound effect.
Should she do the like hands to head, like mind blown
yeah,
move?
Should she say,
should we just church this up?
Yeah. And yeah. That, I think it sounds like a marriage proposal if you tell somebody you want to church this up. let's see, I think you just get it out there, you know, you know, up front, I think it was probably the way to go. And then if somebody is like, if for whatever reason, if that was a deal breaker for somebody, then at least you know that person is an idiot and you don't need to be bothering with them anyway. And I think that that's better than like right before you're going to like walk in the door with something like, oh, by the way, I got to tell you something. So, yeah, just let them know up front.
What does upfront mean in this context? Is like, do you put it in your profile on the app?
No,
like,
I don't think you need that. You need to put it in the profile on the app. But if you're out with somebody and they said like, oh, so, you know, when you're just talking about yourself and then I live at home with my parents because, you know, I'm saving a lot of money up, like, you know, sort of put like a spin the upside.
And more people are doing this. You know, more and more young people are living at home with their parents. When I was at MTV, we had a lot of research that showed that this was much more common nowadays than it used to be, you know, for your generation and my generation, Rob.
Yeah, by the way, my brother and my sister are both in their 30s and they both live at home with my mom.
Yeah, I would love to live at home with my parents. My God.
Yeah.
Besides, if I lived in California, forget it. I'm moving in.
So I'll see if I can reach out to my siblings and see what they say, what they tell people.
Yeah.
Who both of them are in a a relationship that they're very happy in and have both started this relationship since they've been living with my mom.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I think that like you may be very worried about it in a way that other people are not even aware.
Okay, this is a question for somebody who is in a relationship, and he writes to us and says, thanks for doing this. Many of us out here just don't know where to turn for love advice. And somehow, mistakenly, that this person has turned to us. So here's the conundrum. The woman in my life seems to know what looks good on her and what doesn't. But sometimes she'll wear something that's hideous. And when she does, she asks me if it looks good. Do I tell her the truth or should I listen to Admiral Akbar and assume it's a trap? Help me, Robin Steven. You're my only hope. Sincerely, Worried in Wonder Lake.
Well, so first of all, this gets to my point that there's just basically no other dating podcasts out there. And I think that serves us really well because people are forced to ask us. They got nowhere else to go.
Right. I do think that it's a weird niche that I don't know if people are like out there specifically seeking a dating and relationship podcasts. Like, I think that people have their own questions. And then whereas like Loveline would be just on at nighttime and it was sort of like just like a little ubiquitous. I think in this very niche world, I don't know if people necessarily have that too much of an interest. Oh, I like listening to dating and relationship shows.
What do people like to hear about more than other people's romantic problems?
Yeah, I think there's, things that are more interested in sex. I think that's a little bit more of a popular niche than just strictly relationship stuff. But
sex and politics.
Yeah, let's not digress too far. Should Worried in Wonder Lake tell the woman in his life the truth when she is asking for it, or should he assume that she is trying to trick him?
Well, Rob, this is definitely a question for you, as you've been living with a woman for quite a few years.
Yes. Okay. Well, I will start off this response by saying that every person is different, and I do believe that every woman is different. So I do not believe that this is a one-size-fits-all answer in terms of what you should tell somebody of a specific gender. But I will talk about what I do personally at my house, and that I have found that in my conversations with my wife, she does not want any negative feedback. So she has trained me and conditioned me so that I will always tell her the answer that she wants to hear to a question. And I don't think that this is necessarily like I would like to hear the true answer when I ask a question. I think that most people think they do, but my wife has conditioned me to the point where if she asks me something and I give her an answer that she does not like or want to hear, then she gets angry with me and I'm in trouble and it's a fight. So because of the way that she has conditioned me, I just give her the answer that she wants to hear.
See, my attitude is it depends on when the question is being asked. Like if the question is being asked at the point of purchase, then you're in a, like in the store when she's trying something on,
yeah,
then you're in a position where you can actually influence it.
But I would never go to the store with my wife.
Well, we don't know what the showman is doing. So, you know, versus if she's trying on something at home, that's something she owns. You know, I think I agree with you. It just behooves you to say nice things and build someone up. And ultimately, it's not going to matter what she wears if she feels confident wearing it. And so really what matters is, what your responsibility is to make her feel confident about it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, yeah. I would say that with this particular issue of clothing, that I will say whether or not something looks good, that over this past weekend that Nicole tried something on and she said, "Do you like this?" And I said, No, I do not.
Wow.
I do not.
You broke out laughing.
Yeah, I do not. I said, wear this when you go to your next mom's dinner party. But no, I do not care for that. So, but I feel like that with, if it was like a question about her hair or her makeup, does she look fat, her cooking, you wouldn't think that was something that would really set her off. How is this? Do you like this? We got into a big fight over the Christmas break that she had made cookies, and she had asked the question, "Are these cookies perfect the way that you like them?" And so I felt like obligated to say that they were not exactly what I liked. If she had asked the question, "Are these good?" I would have certainly said yes. But she framed it very specifically in terms of, "Are these perfect the way that you like them?" Right. And so I felt obligated to say something. Otherwise, I would spend the rest of my life having the cookies made a specific way that I did not really love. They were fine, but they weren't perfect. I felt like the need to say, it's just the way that she, and she got really mad.
Well, that's what it comes down to, right? It's like, it's basically like being in the store and saying something about the clothes. Like you're at a moment where you're not just impacting, you know, the cookies now or the dress right now, but like, is this dress going to be worn in the future? Are these cookies going to be eaten in the future? And that, I think, is where you should.
The cookies were fine. They just were not, they were not the ideal cookies. They were not perfect.
But that's, did you say these are amazing cookies? I love them. However,
she doesn't like a however. Yeah.
What about, they're amazing cookies, and I would love them even more if they had more cinnamon.
So, I don't know. But I would just say that to this specific emailer worried in Wonder Lake, that if your significant other gets angry if you give her bad news, then just tell her what she wants to hear. If she, you know, takes the advice or the feedback and say, "Oh, okay, well, you know, I actually really do like this," or, you know, if she can handle the feedback, then be 100% truthful and honest with her.
See, I think this is like one of the fundamental issues in any relationship is like how much honesty and how much just like mindless approval. Now, I'm a needy bitch and I want just like mindless approval. I want like support and applause. And, you know, I'm getting enough doubt and self-questioning from within. You know, I want just like support from without.
I get that.
But you're the opposite.
I would like a little bit more constructive feedback. I get the opposite from my wife where, you know, that there's most things, and I don't know if you would necessarily know this about Nicole, but there's a lot of like one word answers. So like, "Oh, so what do you think of that?" "Oh, it's fine. Okay." She doesn't really like to field follow-up questions.
Yeah, that's tricky. That's very tricky.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Because your whole life is follow-up questions.
Yeah. So, we don't always, converse on the same wavelength, Stephen.
Yeah. And especially your whole life is conversing on the waves.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, whether man, woman, I think that what people tell you how they want to be treated. So if someone gets upset with bad news and, you know, you have the option to give them bad news or not, then I would say then they are telling you they do not want you to give them negative feedback based on how they receive that feedback.
There's also like an extreme here, though, right? Like if the dress is like a clown costume and she's like, do I look hot in this clown costume? You know, at some point you got to say,
And I don't care for clowns.
Yeah, how rude.
I know you do. You're a big clown, yeah, clown guy.
I am.
Clowns, yeah. Mimes.
Big,
you love
big clown
them.
Guy. Yeah. I love them. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I don't care for it. Okay. Steven, are you ready for another question?
Yeah.
This is from one of our listeners, and she writes in to say, number one, wow, have never been more excited for a podcast. Please do more than one episode. So we'll see how many people walk away from this podcast with that. I opened myself up to it. I said, I appreciate the criticism, the feedback.
Yeah.
Number two,
I was very explicit, yes, though. I only want praise.
Yes. Number two, I need advice about how to get dates. I'm a freshman in college and I really want to get a BF. Some people say it's cuffing season, but honestly, I don't know what that means. That's in the email. I know what it means. I think my biggest problem is meeting and taking new people. Not sure if that's supposed to be talking to new people. Any advice on meeting people and getting a BF in college? Thanks for the potential advice. I'll try out whatever you say because shrug emoji, why not? Also, I think it makes me sound more desperate than I am, but it's hard to ask for dating advice without seeming desperate. Okay, Steven. So freshman woman in college who wants a BF because it's cuffing season.
Do you want to explain to our listeners what cuffing season is?
Yes, that is when there is a lot of snow on the ground and that you will get a lot of like salt and schmutz on the bottom of your jeans. So you should cuff them up to avoid ruining and getting like all frayed edges on the bottom of your jeans.
That's it. And what this has to do with dating is that, you know, rolled jeans are really cool right now. So it's likelier that you'll find a significant other if you're rolling your jeans.
Yes. Okay. Steven, according to the Urban Dictionary, cuffing season during the fall and winter months, people who would normally rather be single or promiscuous find themselves along with the rest of the world desiring to be cuffed or tied down by a serious relationship. The cold weather and the prolonged indoor activity causes singles to become lonely and desperate to be cuffed. You also hear about like these blizzard boyfriends and things like that.
Oh, wow. A blizzard boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is that like a Frosty called. The Snowman situation where like someone like magical emerges out of the snow?
Yeah. Yeah. With a magic hat.
And a corncob pipe.
Yeah. And so then Stephen Fishback, what should our freshman who is looking for a boyfriend do? Because that, I think it's a little bit of a unique situation. Not a ton of people are looking for that relationship in college. How does she find somebody to end up being in a relationship with, whether it's for the winter months or for maybe even longer?
Yeah, this is where the limits of our knowledge really express themselves, because when we were in college, there was barely an internet. You know, there certainly was not internet dating, and there certainly were not cell phones and cell phone apps and any of that like.
That's true. That goes without saying, Stephen. So what advice do, because she says that she'll follow basically any advice that we have.
Oh, wow. Oh, this is fun. So this is like a hazing thing where we can like tell her to do anything and she'll do it.
So you're saying to join a sorority?
No. Yeah. Well, what about like a shirt? Like, I'm looking for love.
No, that's sending the wrong message, I think, Stephen.
That's sending the right message, but in the wrong way.
Yeah. So what could she do? Do you think that is the move to like get involved with activities, or, I mean, we don't know where she's going to school. I'm presuming someplace in the Northeast or at least the North where it's going to be cold, right?
Yeah. And that's the problem. We don't know where she's going to school. Is she living in the dorms? You know, what activity? This is where we need a call in show, Rob, is to do the follow-up questions. And, you know, most relationships, at least my experience in college, started at parties, right? And that's where you find or someone who happens to be at the same place that you are. And it turns into a long-term thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that you sort of like, okay, I see this person. I like this person. I want to see them again. I don't know if there's any sort of science to it in terms of like, I don't know like who these people are, but I think that you can sort of tell these guys who are not looking for a relationship from the guys who might be open to it.
Well, I mean, I like your idea about activities, though, right? Like, ultimately, you want to find someone who has common interests to you. And so, you know, getting involved in activities, you're inherently broadening your social circle and meeting people who care about the same things that you do.
Yeah, and people that you see with some frequency.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet that most college relationships, though, are based around, you know, the people you live near, and certainly freshman year relationships. Does that like ring true to you, Rob?
Yeah, but I think that's a bad idea to date somebody that, just like we were talking about in the workplace, that my feelings about the workplace are also double for people who are like right near your dorm room, because that is not ideal. I say you don't even want the same floor. Or let alone the same dorm.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
If you can help it.
Yeah, it's dangerous. I mean, very convenient in the short term, but dangerous in the long term.
Everybody knows then who hooked up with who, and you know, like you like the in my dorm, like you knew, okay, oh, that person hooked up with this person, that person hooked up with this person. Everybody knows everything.
But how does it go from just like a couple of hookups into a serious relationship in college?
I mean, what do you think I had a serious relationship in college, Stephen? Well, what do I know from that? I mean, from what I saw from people, it was like they would meet somebody and then they would see them again and again. And then it's like once you see them the second time, that's like sort of like it would be either be like a one night stand, or then if you saw them a second time, then it would be a relationship.
So you're saying like show up outside his door so he sees you again and again.
Who? She's not stalking somebody.
That's what you're saying.
No, she
make
wants
sure they see you again and again.
Yeah. But I think that you want to maybe, I think that if you meet somebody at a party and then it goes in that direction, I think that's maybe less likely to end up being turned into a relationship than somebody that you meet in some other walk of life, whether it's a class or, you know, a study group or some sort of activity. And then if that turns into something, that's much more likely to be a relationship.
You know what I did in college? I asked people out for coffee. I said, let's go out for coffee. And, you know,
and you are a huge coffee snob also.
Well, to be fair, like that's my drink of choice. Yes, exactly. So, but I think like everyone in college, and certainly freshman year, is super nervous about their social life. Like everyone feels that they don't know enough people or the right people or they're not at the right parties.
Coffee's a good
date, right? Yes, just ask someone, be like, and it does, and you know, I know that you prefer the ambiguity. You don't want people like declaring themselves, and I'm with you on that for the most part, except for L. No, but just, you know, I think that.
Like a major?
You know, that's the thing though. If you go out to coffee, it doesn't have to be like I'm asking you out on a date. You could just be like someone you think is cool or interesting and cute, and just say, hey, would you like to get coffee sometime? And, you know, probably they'll say yes.
Now, did this hold you back on OkCupid when you would ask somebody out for coffee and the girl would say, oh, how about Starbucks? And you'd be like, oh, no, and I won't even drink Starbucks. I need to go to a specialty cafe.
Yeah. If anyone said Starbucks or God forbid Dunkin', forget it. Like that, but that's what I'm talking about.
You wouldn't have that on Tinder, right?
The whole point is to limit. Exactly. The whole point is to find limiting things. But I want, person's name?
This was a anonymous person.
Oh, well, okay. Anonymous, you know, you're saying you're going to do the thing that we tell you to do. I would like to tell you to, ask some guy out for coffee and report back to us.
Okay. Ask just some guy that you have your eye on. Would you like to get coffee and make sure he's single, not spoken for? And then you can go from there. But yeah, I don't think that we have any sort of magic bullet in terms of how to get a relationship. I think that, you know, that just be on the lookout. And I think look for the right guy who seems like he is open for that.
Seems like he's open for that.
These party guys they're out there being all crazy in college. That's not the right guy. That's not who we're looking for.
So if someone has like super well done hair, avoid that person.
Well done hair?
I think of like a party guy. They got like really like, you know, like really like, I'm just like wondering what a party guy is. I guess that was my, you know, where
like
I was
somebody
going with
who's
that.
Like getting drunk every night.
Definitely don't. Yeah. Stay away.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from one of our listeners, T, and he is wondering about long distance relationships. He says, okay, due to my occupation and my work commitments, my circumstances often have me traveling all around the world, unable to stay in one place for very long. While I love to travel, it's really thrown a wrench into my dating prospects. Sure.
Is this Jeff Probst?
Yeah. No, this is T. T, oh, not T. Jay. Sure, I can use Tinder and meet people from all over the world, but those meetings are often very temporary and don't lead to anything substantial. While I'm no Sash, and by that he means 2010's biggest bachelor of NYC, I certainly do all right for myself. I'm going to be 32 this summer, and I'm looking to settle down, but my job doesn't really allow it. I would love to find someone to move around with me, but that just isn't practical until much later in the relationship. Meanwhile, I feel like I'm a pre-merge boot each time I need to pack up and leave for a new town every couple of months. It doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to keep my current job and start a family. I'd like to know what the knowingest know-it-alls around think. Should I leave my lucrative career and try to start a family? Should I try a long-distance relationship again and hope she'll come with me? Or should I just continue relying on Tinder in the hopes that one of these single-serving meetups turn into something more? What would you do in my position? Thank you so much. Love you, Baze.
Wow, that's a tough one, Rob. There's a lot that goes into this because it's beyond just dating. It's his whole life. What are you recommending?
Right. So, I mean, this is an interesting position that you move around from place to place, and you know you're only there for a couple of months, and then you're back on the road. And it doesn't seem like it's going to stop. I don't know what people do who are in this type of situation, because it's not like, you know, you have people who, let's say, like serve in the military, who are like are home and then they get shipped off and then they come back to one place. I mean, it's like the roulette wheel is never stopping.
I don't think he can leave his job, right? Like if he leaves his job for a different career, then he's going to be dissatisfied. It sounds like he obviously really likes his job. It's highly lucrative, he said.
He says, yes, it's a lucrative career, and he loves to travel. He doesn't say if he loves his job.
Right, but it's a lucrative career, and it, obviously if it's something he wanted to leave, he would have left it, right, for a relationship. So it sounds like it's this really difficult balance between do you give up – it seems hard without an actual potential partner in the picture, right? If there's no
right
actual person – it's not like he's leaving his job for someone. It's like he's leaving his job for the possibility of someone, and that seems pretty premature to me.
Yeah. I think that he should continue to date and continue to meet people. I think the idea that there's sort of like an expiration date on it, I think it makes it exciting because that's as we know, Stephen. And that I think that that's going to, if you meet, when you meet the right person, that's when you start making these life-changing decisions where you can say, all right, what if I settle down here in this place? And look, he may love this job. He may have a lucrative career right now. But if he has the skill sets to have this lucrative career, it sounds like that he would be probably like very employable. And if he was not doing exactly just this thing, but he decided that it was time to settle down, then I think that he can cross that bridge when he gets to it. I don't think he needs to make this decision, you know, ahead of time, like a premeditated thing.
We need to know how many dates he's going on with these women and whether or not, you know, how he's ending it.
He says he certainly does well for himself.
Right. So obviously he's finding people, but how is it ending? You know, is it ending with him not having the emotional wherewithal to commit, knowing he's just going to have to leave? Or are there teary farewells with special people who he, you know, hates to leave behind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, if you met the right person and then it was, you know, long distance for 6 months or a year while you're trying to figure out, okay, you know, I just like give me a, you know, let's, you know, stay in touch. I mean, it's never been easier to be in a long distance relationship than it is now. and, you know, okay, like, let me get out the game in, you know, a year. I'll get back to Pittsburgh and we'll settle down, or come, or, you know, we'll, let's move to this place. I think that you can start to come up with an exit strategy. I don't think you need to quit your job to say, okay, now I'm going to move to St. Louis and I'm going to find somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, Stephen. A couple more questions. This is one from a male listener. He has recently come out of a 4-year relationship and he's looking forward.
What's his name?
This is N.
Okay. N
has recently come out of a 4-year relationship and is looking forward to a new year of dating. I'm not keen on rushing straight into another relationship and want to date multiple people. This will be new for me and I need advice on playing the field. Should I be afraid to catch feels if the right person comes along? That's from N.
I mean, I think we all know how, you know, it does take some time after coming out of a long-term relationship to want to be able to commit. But I've never been one who could do the dating multiple people. I mean, there's just the logistical element. Like, what if I can never keep track of like what I said to one person. Did I tell someone this story or did I tell someone that story? And what if you run into the person?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, Anne, this is not my area of expertise either. Like, I can understand seeing a lot of people on first dates, but I mean that when we're getting into, okay, this is my third time out with this person, my fourth time out with this person, I don't know at what point you need to start calling those things off.
Personally, I just can't handle the stress of it. Like I said, it's like the, just like, you know, the fear at any restaurant that you're going to run into someone. It's, you know, when I was in New York is when I was dating, and, you know, New York is a big city, but it's also, you do, because it's so compact, you do end up running into people in shocking ways all the time. I just living in terror.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is after that third or fourth date, just that you're straightforward with the people you're seeing, right? Is like, as long as everyone knows that this is not exclusive and that you may be dating other people, explicitly knows that, then I think it's okay, you know, from that perspective. And even if you do run into them, it will be at best awkward, or at worst awkward, but not a tremendous violation.
Do you think it is easier or harder to be dating multiple people at this point than, say, it was 5 or 10 years ago?
What would make it easier or harder?
I think that the permanent smartphone attachment, I mean, I think that where you had somebody, okay, maybe sending a text 5 or 10 years ago, or, oh, let me get the talk to this person on the phone. I would think that you're sort of like in much more regular communication with people over, you know, text or whatever other messaging apps are going on. And then people want to take pictures everywhere, you know, oh, I'm going to follow you on Instagram. And then, you know, you're getting tagged in photos with this one and then another one is getting upset. So I think it's probably a challenge.
Yeah, it's a red flag if someone is saying, don't tag me.
Right. Don't tag me. Don't add me. And so, yeah, you got to like steer clear with these social media. Not until you're married. I think you have to follow the other person on social media.
So don't follow the person until...
I think when you're engaged.
Well, engaged. Okay, I was going to say, I'm feeling a little bit nervous about that. it's interesting. What should N be afraid to catch feels? You know, he should be afraid.
Yeah, because I think that when you come out of a long-term relationship, I think you need to set some sort of a fail-safe coming out of it. Because I feel like that if I was going to be back at it, I think I would go on like one date with somebody and then I'd just be like married again. I really think that you need to say, okay, I am going to, no matter what, for 6 months, I'm not going to have a serious relationship. I need to get over this, you know, coming out of this relationship. I need to really just take it slow. I need to get my mind right. And I think just sort of like make sense of everything that's going on. Because this is all, you know, a traumatic experience to come out of a 4-year relationship.
It's a lot.
Wow, I wasn't familiar with that one.
Yeah.
I was Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think some people are famous for being serial monogamists, and within a week of leaving one relationship, they're already in the next relationship. Often you find, though, that those people were already laying the groundwork for the next relationship in the previous relationship, you know, that like they had been disconnected from the previous relationship in advance of the actual termination date of that relationship, and were already sort of starting to put their tentacles out. I agree, Rob. Like, even if it seems like you're feeling things very intensely for someone new, often that those feelings are residually tied up with your previous relationship, especially one as long as 4 years. So, you know, just be, you know, interrogate your own feelings.
Okay. This is a question from SJ in New York. Hey, know-it-alls, as two fellow quote-unquote nerds, I'm wondering if you have any tips for me. I mean, this is like our wheelhouse right now, Stephen.
Yeah, finally, yeah.
So I'm 26 years old, and I have had a very rough anxiety disorder and depression for over half of my life. As a result, I've always felt too shy, too nervous, too anxious, and too afraid to even so much as tell a girl that I was interested in her, much less ask her out on a date. I was always afraid that if I asked a girl out, not only would she definitely say no to me, but also I feared that word would spread that an idiot like me got rejected and I would become a laughingstock at the school. It was a really legitimate fear through my entire time in high school and college, and now I'm laughably inexperienced compared to my peers and people much younger than me. I'm a virgin and still haven't even had my first kiss at 26 years old. I used to have terrible self-confidence, but I really worked hard on improving my self-esteem, and I feel like I am a pretty kick-ass guy nowadays. I know I'm intelligent,
that's awesome,
funny, above average looking, and many more positive qualities. And I know I would make a good boyfriend, but I just can't shake off the overwhelming feeling of anxiety. Those scars from my past haunt me and are still very real. Despite all of these positive qualities about myself, I still can't help but lock up inside whenever I want to seriously talk with a girl. It's like I turn into jello and lose all social competence and coherence. I was wondering if either of you have any experience with anxiety, specifically when it comes to dating, or low self-confidence, and whether you do or don't. If you have any words of advice for any people out there that are just like me and struggle to even put our toes in the water, much less jump into the dating pool. I see a lot of similarities between myself and you two, and you are both my two of my favorite people, so I would really appreciate some advice. This is from SJ in New York. All right.
Wow. First of all, congratulations, SJ. It sounds like you're already doing, you know, so much better than you were. The fact that you've gotten over some of your anxiety disorder and are feeling confident about yourself, to know that you're intelligent, funny, and above average looking, is really wonderful. So congratulations on that.
Yeah.
And this reminds me so much of myself at 26. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely can relate to a lot of the notes in SJ's email.
Yeah. I mean, me too. So much. Just that fear of approaching someone, the fear that not only would this person reject you, but that the ridicule would spread. And so this total terror that just asking someone out would have these horrific social consequences and be humiliating. I mean, I think that's basically probably what I felt at the age of 26. And I have pragmatic advice for you but I'm not going to just jump right into it, Rob. What do you think?
Okay. I mean, I would love to hear your advice. I mean, I certainly can relate to this on a number of different levels. My issues with getting any sort of a date when I was, I don't know if it was necessarily crippling anxiety that was the issue, but I don't even know what the problem was, just in terms of that, nobody was interested in anything I had going on. And that did certainly lead to anxiety, but I don't know if it was necessarily, definitely nerves.
So how did you get over it?
I just got older. I think that was the issue. So when my parents moved when I was going into ninth grade, first of all, I had nothing going on, through my middle school age. And Then my parents moved. So I was a new kid in high school going into ninth grade. And then also that same year, that was when I got braces at like 15 years old or whatever I was ninth grade. So it really, you know, I was awkward and weird and new, and I had braces, and there was no self-confidence whatsoever. I think that was maybe also the issue. There was no self-confidence, but there was also probably no reason for me to have self-confidence either.
And then you went on Survivor and you found Nicole through that.
Yes, that is true. I mean, and again, I had braces for like 5 years. I was like a sophomore in college and I still had braces that went on when I was in ninth grade. So there was just it was, you know, eventually I got older and I grew some confidence. And, you know, things, you know, improved, but it was a very, very slow start. And that I can relate to SJ in a lot of ways here.
And so your advice would be to go on CBS.
No, Steven, that is not what I'm talking about here. That,
no, I know. But how did you get past that?
I had gotten a date
that
before I was on Survivor.
Yeah. How did you get past that fear and awkwardness?
I just eventually, you know, was in college and, you know, there was just people around. I think that the challenge here is I think that it's easier in sort of a college scenario where there's a lot more opportunities there in the world, in the college world. And, you know, at 26, I think it is, you know, more of a challenge than to go out there and then have some sort of like these jitters that you would have at, say, a younger age. So I definitely can relate to what SJ is talking about here.
So I had the experience too of like kind of like finding my way in college. And like when I left college, I felt like I knew how to find someone to date. But then I moved to New York and I felt like I just got like it was a reset button. And right. I, you know, blew my confidence where like suddenly you go from being the senior at college to being the youngest person in the city. Nobody wants to date you. You know, you don't have a career to speak of. Mm-hmm. It not only did it reset my actual dating prospects, but it also reset my confidence more importantly. And so I think, you know, for quite a number of years, I really had similar problems to SJ in terms of asking people out. And so in terms of the practical advice that I have, the first thing I would say is one is just ask a lot of people out and get rejected a lot. You know, go up to people and ask them out. And it doesn't have to be, you know, aggressive or intrusive or, but if you're at a bar, just like start talking to someone and ask them out and you are going to get rejected. And that is the point of this, is that you are going to get rejected and you are going to see that it's actually not that bad. It's not that bad. If you ask someone out and they say no, they're flattered that you asked them out and, you know, they don't go and gossip to their friends about it. Mm-hmm. They're just like, you know, somewhat appreciative, and you go back and, you know, you don't intrude anymore on that person. Obviously you mm-hmm. take that rejection and, you know, obviously if they say yes, that's even better. Then you go out with the person. But, you know, I think that demystifying rejection is so important. So I actually did that a lot. I like forced myself to ask people out, even though I was terrified of doing it. And yes, I was rejected sometimes. And I learned that, hey, that's okay. And then, you know, occasionally, even better, some people said yes. Now, that seems like that kind of advice with your parents give you in, you know, right when you're in like a high school. They're like, you know, oh, there's a bully. Why don't you just go talk to the bully and sort it out with him? Why don't you just have a conversation with him, you know? There's, you're like, yeah, right, dad. Like, go ask people out. Like, how do I do that? Many people may disagree with me here, but I actually found that having a line was helpful. And I don't think it has to be like a corny line, but
what was your line?
I don't even remember.
You were like remember it. Come on. No,
I don't. I there was one at the time that I was dating. I remember I was the Pickup Artist was on TV, and this is a terrible show. You're familiar with the Pickup Artist? Yes. It's like the whole premise is absolutely awful, which is that like you're, you know, using tips and tricks to like trick women basically into responding to you. But mm-hmm. it had a lot of lines, and we were joking about it once. Some friends and I were joking about this show. And one of the lines, which was like so bad, was that it was like laughable was, do you floss before or after you brush your teeth? And so basically, like, on a dare from my friends, and really I was like trying to put myself in the situation of having to ask people out, I said, like, I'm going to go ask someone out, and I'm going to use that line from Pickup Artist, like, do you floss before or after you brush your teeth? And I ended up asking someone this question, and we had like an awesome conversation.
Wait, like, is it a joke? Is it like, well, then you better stop and pick up floss before you come to my house?
Well, no. And I think that's the problem with lines, right? Is that people think that they're just like cheap sexual innuendos.
You need an icebreaker.
Right. You want some kind of conversation starter, and it's okay.
What do you do? What do you floss before or after?
I thought everyone flossed before they brush their teeth. Like, isn't that what dentists say? Like, you floss and then you brush your teeth. See, here we go. This is what a great conversation.
I think you're supposed to do it after.
But are you sure? I thought you like floss to get loose all the stuff and then you brush your teeth to get them away.
No, I think you brush your teeth and then you floss to get rid of the stuff that you didn't get with the toothbrush.
Huh. Okay. Well, so anyway, as you can see, this is a great, so that's what I mean when I say off the line. It's like, no,
but well,
you,
I mean, hold on. Let me add.
Go ahead.
Well, because I feel like that this sort of flies in the face of what you were saying earlier about going and doing online dating. Why isn't it better for SJ to get on an OkCupid and make a profile and then find somebody who is going to be more of a match with him and then just go on one date with somebody, rather than putting himself out there for, basically a night of like knocking door to door and just to try to get like, oh, okay, well, I've, heard 100 no's today, so now I'm ready.
You're right. And in fact, the same advice applies. You know, if someone is terrified of asking someone out, that could be in person and that could also be over email, right? He might equally be terrified of asking someone out online, you know, whether that's on a website like OkCupid or in an app. And so the same advice applies, which is just ask the person out, you know, come up with something that you feel comfortable as a conversation starter and just send it to that person, you know, come up with, and I think that's like the conversation starter element. And when I said a line, like that's what I meant was a conversation starter. You know, I think that can be really helpful because you decide in advance that this is just what you're going to use. And so you kind of take your in the moment terror out of the situation, right? Like, cause when you actually go to approach someone or you go to send that email, suddenly you're freaking out. Oh my God. Like what can I possibly say? Just come up with something like, and you're right, I guess, like an app like OkCupid is again, we should really get ad dollars from them, is a great tool because you can see what people are interested in and you can ask them questions about that. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is just taking an interest in a person and starting a conversation by asking a question. People love to talk about themselves. If you ask someone a question about themselves, like that's going to be their favorite topic.
All right, Steven. So hopefully we have some advice there for SJ. I got one more question for you. This is from one of our male listeners who asks, I've been taking some time off from dating because I felt discouraged about the amount and quality of responses that I was getting online. Because so much of dating is based off of looks, at least to get an initial message or response, I decided that I would get rid of my account and not go back on dating apps until I was satisfied with how I looked. I've made a lot of progress as I've lost 30 pounds, but I still haven't reached the target appearance that I'm aiming for. My friends think I look good and think I'm being ridiculous, so I should just get back out there, but I'm not ready. I know I'll feel more confident when I look the way that I want to. I want to have more options and be more attractive to whoever I'm dating, and I believe I'll get more leeway for non sequiturs, awkward pauses, and plain old out there statements if I'm better looking. Am I right to keep waiting until I lose the last bit of weight and get my muscles right in general? You're the love know-it-alls. What do you think? Steven, how ripped does a D need to get?
Do you think anyone in this entire planet has reached like their target level of like, well, what did he say? Like my target of how I want to look? Mm-hmm. I don't think any human being has like reached their target of how they want to look. Maybe Cole Meters.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Pectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Steven, so when is enough?
Well, you tell me, Rob.
Okay. Well, Steven, I think that he should not hesitate. I mean, unless he's waiting to say, okay, I'll get new headshots taken now that I've been working out and I've lost weight and now I'm ready to go. But I don't think that there is a there of like, oh, I've made it, you know, 170 pounds. Like, I'm ready to go back out there. And then, you know, and then the next day at lunch, like, oh, all right, take the profile down. That's it. I'm out. So I think that if he's, you know, just get out there, I think that the confidence will come when he starts getting the responses.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a false idea that you're ever going to achieve this, like, the perfect way of looking that is going to, like, suddenly open all of the doors of dating for you. You know, nobody thinks they look perfect. And I think you just gotta, like, go for the things, right? You just gotta, like, put yourself out there, put yourself online.
Right. Right now.
And, you know, if in the future you feel like you look better, then, you know, you can change your pictures.
Right now. Yes. I think that there's a little bit of a slippery slope here. And tell me if I'm reading between the lines too much here for D, but it sounds like he's saying, well, I didn't like the responses that I was getting.
Right.
So that's how I decided to start to work on me. But I feel like that is not really a pure place to come at the, I want to be in shape so I can date more attractive people.
Well, what do you mean not pure?
I don't know. I feel like that he should want to get in shape because he wants to be in shape, not because that he is being a little shallow in terms of the women that are responding to his dating profile.
I don't know. I don't care about being in shape, but I just want to be in shape so that I, like, look good in pictures. You know, I'm not even looking to date. You know, it's not about me. It's about others.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a little bit more about your vanity than this is. It sounds like that he's saying, I mean, tell me if I'm reading too much into it.
I think you might be. I mean, I think that's a common theme, right? And if something, you know, anything that encourages you to, like, live a healthier lifestyle, like, so much the better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, not to get too carried away with, you know, this obsession over, like, looking good. I mean, maybe also, you know, maybe part of the issue is the way, you know, what you're sending out to people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, what are your openers?
Right. Yeah, I don't know necessarily what his openers are other than he has non sequiturs, awkward pauses, and plain old out there statements.
I wonder what an out there statement is. You know, maybe this might be part of the problem here.
That could be part of the problem. All right. So, Steven, so we're on the same page in saying that, look, if you've lost 30 pounds, I mean, let's go out there and let's see what happens. And yeah, if you're unhappy with how it's going, then, you know, you have more work to do.
Yeah. And again, like, it's not, you know, it's probably, so you're, it sounds like you're getting a lot of validation and approval, from your friends. So,
yeah, but
you know,
he might have just, like, yelled at them in the past when they asked him, like, how do I look? And, like, oh, you can lose some weight. Like, oh, screw you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So yeah, why not try and, like, you know, keep also do both, you know, and get better at dating. And again, dating is not just about how you look. It's like also, like, what you're saying, you know, what questions you're asking to people. You know, I'm not, like, the most handsome guy in the world, but I feel like I would,
come on.
You know, no, I am. You're right. I am the most handsome guy in the world. Yeah. but, you know, I would ask people, you know, that's why I tried to, like, really take an interest in people's, like, profile.
Dental hygiene. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But Steven, just to go back to this, that, I mean, that, is there a real difference between, you know, if D took the extra 2 weeks and lost 5 more pounds, is there one person that was going to swipe right instead of swiping left? I mean, are the women out there that shallow?
No. I mean, I don't know. Probably there's probably some.
I mean, there might be, but
yeah,
like, I think that it's all about a state of mind in terms of him being out there for other people. And I think that he should give it a shot.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of self-confidence only will breed more self-confidence.
That's right.
Okay. Stephen, and that is the list of questions that I have for us here today on the first Love Know-It-Alls. How do you think it went?
I think it was good. I mean, I think we were fine. The questions were great. You know, the stories and the questions, you know, I think that's like the meat of this. And you know, we're also here.
What feedback do you have for somebody that is sending a question into KIA@ropiswebsite.com? Do you need more information? Do you need less information?
I want more, right? I want like, don't we want like as much like compelling, wonderful, visceral story as possible, but like really get into the specifics, you know, like to me, like that's the stuff that we can really talk about, you know, vis-a-vis, did that person play the idol correctly? Tell me what the email is that you're sending as an opener on the app and what the response was and how you went from there or what the specific date was, you know, would you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, more specific information is always helpful. I was just concerned that, do you feel like that are the emails running too long?
Oh, I didn't think so. I really enjoyed it. What about you? What advice would you give people writing in?
Well, I would say also that, you know, until we get to the point where we can take your phone calls, you could also send us a voicemail. Go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail if you have a question that you would like to hear us and a guest get into coming up next week, assuming we don't just get flamed straight into oblivion for doing one episode of that podcast. And then if that is the case, then we'll find something else to do with our time.
I'm really excited about when we have a guest. I think that's going to really elevate this whole shenanigans.
Yeah, hopefully somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, this podcast is missing, is someone who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, so we will see. Stephen, do we have a hashtag?
Oh, God,
do you want people
you.
To hashtag floss first or floss last?
Yeah, exactly.
Let us that's know great. The answer, yeah. Although it could potentially ruin you out there on the dating scene. If somebody follows you on social media, they won't be able to come up with that person that has liked you for 10 years. They won't have their trusty opener.
You? Yeah. How will they approach you?
Yeah.
It's true. It really is. It's true. I mean, is there any overlap? Like what other like fandoms are going to be using floss first and floss last?
I think just a bunch of dentists. So it seems like that we should be okay with that. Steven, are there any of these people that we could hook up together? Like I'm trying to see, do we have any matches in terms of like S from New York is probably too old for our college freshmen. I'm saying maybe for L, if it doesn't work out with Eric, that maybe
SJ is there.
Yeah, SJ is an option. So we'll see. We'll have like a whole dating network and we'll be able to play matchmaker with people. Also, send us your updates if we answered your question, if you did something that we advised or did not take our advice. And please let us know how it went either way.
Oh, we definitely need to hear from the college freshman about how her coffee date goes.
Okay. All right. Stephen Fishback is on Twitter occasionally. You can send him something and see if you can get a response out of him.
Send positivity and reinforcement. And yeah.
There you go.
And send Rob all your criticism and hatred.
Okay. Well, look, if you don't want there to be more episodes, I don't want to be like a Nicole. I said I can handle the criticism. Here's what I would say. I am very sensitive to the criticism, so you don't have to hit me over the head with it. I can take a subtle hint with the criticism so that I get it. That you can just like give it to me straight, but you don't have to like really hit me over the head with it. Okay.
No exclamation points.
No exclamation points. Just keep it civil. That's all I ask in terms of the criticism. All right. That being said, Stephen Fishback, great to catch up with you here in the Survivor off season.
Yeah.
Okay. We will hopefully be back in a week's time with someone else to answer your questions. KIA@robhasawebsite.com for the Love Know-It-Alls. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.